months. Oh, well, the changes you've been through together in the short time you've been married. Wow. And I hope that you're ready to go because it's an adventure that's ahead. It'll be exciting. It'll be challenging. That's really, I think, the way that life could be lived and should be lived. Challenges, exciting. It's wonderful. God has so worked in your life. He's brought you to some changes. But you know, with all the changes that take place in your lives and the changes that take place in all our lives, there are some things that should never change when a person comes to Christ. And I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles, and in the next few minutes, I want to just talk to you about changes. But really, the changes that we should never, changes, I should put it this way, that should never change. Changes that should never change. And I'm going to open my Bible to the scripture that Brother Mims just mentioned, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The song we just sang was based on this passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you will want to find verse 14. And we will consider really, I think, through the end of the chapter tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you're there at verse 14 through verse 21. So let's talk about the changes that should never change. When a person comes to Christ, one of the changes that no matter where you go in your life that should never change is this should never change, a new motive. We read about it, verse 14 already. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go watch the Atlanta Braves. Who's watched the Atlanta Braves play ball down in their new stadium? It's pretty exciting to go down to watch the Braves, isn't it? What's really exciting about watching the Braves, it really gets exciting when you go down and the stadium is full. It's a really exciting game. The stadium's packed, and I mean, it is great fun. Now, it's great fun when the stadium isn't as packed, but when the stadium is packed, it is great fun to go to an Atlanta Braves baseball game. And now, no matter where you sit in that great stadium, when the game is over, all you need to do to find your car is follow the crowd. Because when everybody's streaming out of that stadium, what happens is you just follow where everyone else is going. And even if you try to get through, I mean, you've got people that are just sort of pushing you along and you can't get one way or the other. And you just follow along and eventually you will come out of the stadium and then you figure out where you go from there. And when the Bible describes the term constraint, it describes just like that is when you're trying to leave the Atlanta Braves ball stadium whenever it's a full crowd. It means that I'm being pushed along. And the Bible tells us that what pushes you along in your life that should never change is the love of Christ. The love of Christ for me. It constrains and drives me. And for all of us that know Christ, it should never change that the love of Christ drives us along. Oh, for Paul, it wasn't always that way. He was driven by his religion. He was driven by achievement, position, power. But when he met Jesus, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, he testified. I count them all but dung, waste, for Christ. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's amazing. We love him, we're told, because he first loved us. Amazing to think the love of God that he has for you is undeserved. The love of God for you is unconditional. The love of God for you is unending. The love for God of God for you is unmerited. The love of God for you is unbelievable that God would love you. And to think that God's love would motivate him to send his own son to a cross, to think that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, would willingly give his life on a cruel cross for you. When you come to Christ, what new motivation? Constrained by love. His love for me, my love for him. Lord, I because of your love for me, I love you. Driven by love. That's one of the changes that never change. A motivation driven by love. Hey, there's another change that God tells us about in this passage. You'll find it'll help you all the way along in your life, Ben and Marie. And dear friend, for you, whatever God has called you to do and to be in your life, you'll find that this is one of those changes that will never change. We read in this portion of Scripture about a new master. So we read again in verse 14, continue, not just that the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Whose life is it anyway? And all the changes that take place in life, here's something that should never change. That my life is not mine. I am not my own master. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master. My life is to be given to him. And in this portion of Scripture, it changes everything in your life. It changes your perspective of your rights. Takes us back to the cross. That he died for all. When you saw a cross, you realized the person hanging on a cross is a person that had no more rights. There was no more recourse for them legally. Their rights had been stripped from them, and now there they are on a cross. There was no hope for them beyond that cross. And the Apostle Paul says Jesus gave up all of his rights, and now when you come to him, with him as your master, you too give up all your rights just as Jesus did. You know, if you and I would learn to stop holding on to our rights and give them away to him and trust his goodness and mercy upon us. Oh, how much better off we'd be. Changes our view of people. So we read in verse 17, or verse 16, wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now yet now henceforth we know him no more. And he says, you know, we look at people and used to be, we just looked at people as people. There are people that we're doing business with, we're transacting, they're getting in our way when we're trying to drive. We lay the horn on, get out of my way. They're just people. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, there was a time when I looked at Jesus and he was just a person. In fact, when I looked at Jesus, he was an enemy. When I looked at Jesus, he got in the way of my religion. When I looked at Jesus, I looked at him as someone whose work should be destroyed. But when I came to Christ, changed my view of people. And what you'll find is that in your life, one of the challenges is that when Jesus is my master, I have to always remember that people are different. I see them differently than I used to see them. I see them from God's standpoint. It's hard to love them sometimes. Changes my perspective. Something else that changes my perspective of life. Therefore, verse 17, if any man shall be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, they're old things for the old life, and now in Christ there are new things in the new life. If you're not careful in your life, what you'll find is you'll want to hold on to the old. Why do we love the old so much? Rather than hold on to the new and let the old pass away. So the important question for you is the Lord Jesus the master of your life? See, some things, whatever the changes take place in life, that sustains us in life and faithfulness to God, what should never change is a new motive, constrained by the love of Christ, a new master. And then there's a new mission. This passage tells us about God's mission, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're told in verse 19 that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. So at creation, Adam and Eve were in perfect harmony with God the Father. Then they forsook him and sinned, and sin came into the world, and death passed upon all men, and the fellowship they enjoyed was destroyed. And so God, in his eternal wisdom, before the foundation of the world, God prepared a way so that man could be reconciled. The shedding of blood. And so with the shedding of blood throughout the dispensations, God always provided a way that by faith through the shedding of blood, men could be reconciled. And finally, Jesus appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And now Jesus has come so that you and I can be reconciled. God was on a mission to reconcile. God's sending you to Romania because there are people in Romania. And then beyond that, however God leads, that he wants to reconcile to himself. And you're going to be part of it. And God puts you and people in your life that he's on a mission to reconcile people, and he wants you to be part of it. And so that God's on a mission, but God also has placed you on a mission. So that now then we are ambassadors, verse 20 tells us, for Christ. Ambassadors. An ambassador has a ministry of reconciliation, so that God is so working that you share the word of reconciliation, that people can be reconciled to God, and you're proclaiming in your personal witness everywhere you go that you can be reconciled to God. You're far from him, but now through Christ you can be reconciled to God. And God is using you. And for our church, we want to keep passionate about sharing this ministry of reconciliation. For Ben and Marie, there's so much you're going to go through. How many of you would, maybe you've had this experience, some of you had the experience to go to a place where you didn't speak the language and just feel like, oh, what am I going to do? How many of you think you would enjoy such an experience? How many of you even feel like sometimes in our own country, you wonder, what am I going to do? And we know the language, right? But with all that goes on, remember the ministry of reconciliation that God has given you. And a ministry of, as an ambassador, is a ministry of representation. In the first Gulf War, Saddam Hussein had a meeting with the United States ambassador. And he asked the ambassador if he invaded Kuwait, could he expect an American military response? And the ambassador said, no, you should not expect an American military response. And on the word of an ambassador, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and thrust all our country into war. We've had people in our own congregation who served in that place. All because Saddam Hussein took the word, the wrong word, of the ambassador of the United States of America. And in your life, church, I want you to remember that each of us, everywhere we go, we are ambassadors. And we represent not just ourselves. We represent our Lord. And when the Muldoons go to Romania, they're going to represent themselves. They'll represent Stanley Heights. They'll represent all the partners that are partnering with them and all of us together. But of all the representation they bear, the greatest of all is they are representatives of God in that place. You are a representative of God in your place, wherever He sends you. Wow. So this is your new ministry. And you say, well, what about my ministry? And your ministry is wherever God sends you. So Ben and Marie, as you go, there are a lot of changes. But let's always remember that God has given us something that should never change, a motive to love Him and His mastership and the mission of reconciliation. Well, on this night, this is something that a church sends forth. In Acts chapter 13, whenever God really, I guess it's really the first intentional endeavor for the gospel to be sent to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 13. If you read that passage carefully, you'll notice that God set apart Paul, and in that case, it was Barnabas. And the Holy Ghost said, and God the Spirit set them apart, and then the church sent them forth. So it was evident to the congregation that God had put His hand upon these individuals, and that they were then to send them forth. And you know, church, this is a role that we all have as we together partner with the Lord and with the Muldoon family. In a minute, the children are going to join Ben and Marie. But as they, and we're going to pray for them. But as they bring the children, they'll be here in a minute, I want to ask you, church, you've known Ben for a long time. He came as a pastoral resident, and Marie came along wonderfully. And I ask you this question. Do you agree with God, and is it evident to you that God has put His hand upon Ben and Marie to answer the call to missionary service? If you do, and that is, you affirm that this is something that is clear and evident that God is doing, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it is so clear. It's so clear. And we really affirm what God has already done. But then, remember in Acts chapter 13 that the church sent them forward. And I ask you, church, again, in affirming the call that God has on Ben and Marie, would you then agree with God and would you join as a partner with them, humanly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to send them forth from this place to the calling that God has for them? Would you say amen if you believe that and you're willing to be a partner with the Lord? And say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to ask Ben and Marie, if you'll come up and we're going to pray with you. I'm going to ask Pastor Alexander to come and he's going to pray. And I'm going to ask Brother Walton to come. And we'll hopefully the children are on their way. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. They're supposed to be. There we go. There we go. The babies are coming. The next time we see these babies, I don't know, it might feel like they are still toddlers. There you go. And you can hold, and one of these girls can help hold. You've got them? If you need help, there, someone's going to be here with you. And we're going to pray and send these folks forth. And church, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. And I'm going to ask Brother Walton, one of our deacons, to pray. And then after that, Pastor Alexander is going to pray. And Pastor Alexander has been such a partner in really in our residency with Ben and then just sharing in all of the labor here. And then I'm going to pray and ask the hand of God upon them. So, Brother Walton, would you lead us in prayer first?
Let's pray. Faithful God, we have mixed emotions tonight as we, as a church, commission Ben and Marie and their family to missionary service. We love them and we'll miss them. We're excited about your provision for them and the next steps in their ministry. We would be fearful for them if we did not know that their steps are directed by and they are cared for by a faithful God. And so we pray that in the days ahead you would bless them. We ask for your blessing first on their personal walk with you every day, that that would be the vibrant source of ministry that you give to them. We ask that you would bless their love for each other and their family, that the joy in their family would be a strength and encouragement to them every day and a light to those around them. And then we pray that you would bless their ministry as they do language study, as they seek contacts that will be the basis for further ministry. And one day that through their work, they would see a lighthouse of training for deaf workers through Romania and Eastern Europe by your grace. In Christ's name, amen.
Lord, we continue to ask your blessing on this family. We thank you for them. We thank you for Ben and for Marie. God, we are thankful for your call upon their life, for their evident testimony of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, for their commitment to follow you even to the ends of the earth. Lord, even as they testified tonight of willingness to do your will and not their own. And Lord, we as a church, we cannot call them. You have placed this call on their lives, but we can affirm that we see evidence of your work in their life, as we already have in ordaining Ben, and now as we commission them, Lord, to send them out, that your Holy Spirit has already called and sent them out, but we get to cooperate with your work as a church and get to agree with you that you have called them, and we know that you will be with them in this work you've called them to do. Lord, as we sang of this morning, looking forward to that day when people from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation are gathered around your throne, and how thankful we will be for the part that we've been able to have in the ministry of this family. Lord, we ask for you to do great and mighty things that they know not. We thank you that your Spirit goes with them, Lord, and that through him all things are possible. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on this family. Keep them in your care. And Lord, we look forward to the time where we rejoice around your throne for all that you have done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before I finish out our time of prayer fellowship, I'm going to remind you that we will have, when we're done, we have you're all invited to share in the reception in honor of Ben and Marie and this wonderful occasion in their lives. Well, we will ask you this. If you'll make sure you keep the food in the fellowship hall rather than other places in our building, I think that'd be great. Moms and dads, help your children along with this as well. Let's pray together, shall we? Now, Lord God, as we pray, our prayer is for Ben and Marie, that you would so work in their lives that they would be conformed in a greater way as the years go forward into the image of Christ. And we pray, God, that you would do this work in them. We pray for their family and the children you've brought into their lives. We pray for Serenity and William and Penny. We ask, O Lord, as they've in this first term, so many new things. And we pray you would sustain them by your grace. And so it is with gratitude that we pray. It is with faith that we pray. And believe you for this. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have a closing song. We're going to sing, We Preach Christ. And then after we're done with that, make your way to the fellowship hall and congratulate Ben and Marie. And really, they leave a week from Tuesday. So you'll want to make sure you see them before they go. All right, let's close with We Preach Christ.
We preach Christ, who was crucified and risen from the grave. We preach Christ, the only one who has the strength to save. The message we proclaim is the power of